This is Joanna Schrader reporting for DomesticFuel.com, and I am with Brian Jennings, the Executive Vice President for the American Coalition for Ethanol. Brian, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Well, Brian, I have to say this week was a smashing success. We just finished the Century of Subsidies press conference, and you had a more than a full house.
Yeah, we sure did. I mean, I think the credit, you got to give credit where credit is due. And this was the idea of the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association. So IRFA gets the credit for coming up with this idea. But it was something clever. It was something unique. It did draw a very significant crowd. Hopefully it'll help get the message out there that the playing field is not level today between oil companies and the ethanol industry. And if after 100 years, big oil can't stand on their own two feet and they still rely upon Uncle Sam for taxpayer support, then Congress ought not mess with the RFS.
Now, in the real world, Brian, the RFS is moving in the right direction, although you've got a long way to go in terms of level the playing field. So what are some things, assuming that we'll keep the RFS intact, you know, no movement on that. What do we need to see next to start to even that playing field out even more?
Well, I don't want to be overconfident that we're going to keep the RFS in place, but I do think you're right, Joanna, based on the preliminary reports that have come back from our members who met with members of Congress over the past 2 days. We've received some pretty encouraging news that folks don't feel like there's going to be any real serious threat to the RFS. But in Washington, circumstances can change in a matter of days. So, you know, we're going to stay on guard. But I think then to address your question long term, if the RFS is able to work like it's intended to work, it's going to be a catalyst for innovation. It's going to be a catalyst for commercializing new fuels. It's going to be, I think, what we ultimately want is a catalyst for consumer choice. And so you have fuels out there that are blended with various percentages of ethanol, whether that's E15 or E30 or other blends, E85. The consumers have a choice. They can look at the price. They can look at the blend of ethanol. They can use what works best in their vehicles. And that's ultimately, I think, what we're trying to get at in enabling the market to work, enabling an alternative to oil that's more innovative, more cost-effective and cleaner to be able to compete and for consumers to make their choice freely.
Now, Brian, ACE actually has an expertise in your grassroots organization. You really get down in the weeds sometimes with who you talk to, and you do talk to a lot of consumers, and you've had a huge role in helping get blender pumps and working with the E15 retailers to get E15 in. So what are you hearing from consumers who, once they do have access to this choice, what's their response been?
Well, I think Ron Lamberty of ACE would probably be better at answering that question than I would be. But I can tell you that, you know, consumers, I think from our experience, consumers have had good experience with E10 and other blends of ethanol and gasoline. Consumers, no matter what they tell you in a survey, consumers buy fuel based on price, and there isn't a close second, as I said earlier. And typically, ethanol is going to be the more affordable fuel choice, whether that's E10 today, which, you know, is saving significant money compared to gasoline, or E15. That's what consumers are looking for: something that's safe, something that works, but ultimately something that is less expensive than gas. And so, we feel good about our product. We have a lot of confidence in our product to be able to be low cost, to be able to be cleaner, to be able to perform well. We just got to get it out there to consumers, and the RFS is sort of the policy mechanism that enables that to happen.
When you spoke to congressmen and congresswomen, and you had close to 70 advocates over the 2 days, if not more, also meeting with them, how did that message resonate with them? Are they beginning to understand that message?
I think so. And I think one of the most redeeming features of this fly-in is that it's not so much that I'm the one meeting with the member of Congress or their staff person as it is maybe it's a dairyman from Ohio that's talking about how the ethanol industry has enabled him to have more corn and more feed available as a result of ethanol and the RFS. Maybe it's a a farmer from Nebraska who can help explain to members of Congress and staff people the difference between the corn he raises and sells to Frito-Lay and Doritos for human food consumption and the corn that he raises that gets processed and value is added to it through his local ethanol plant. Or a producer who can talk about how his son is able to come back and join the family farming operation, but the reason he's able to do that is because there's a renewable fuel standard in a valuable market for commodities today. Or a banker who can talk about how Main Street, Lamberton, Minnesota has been revitalized because there's an ethanol plant outside of the community. And that's what is more compelling to these staffers and these members of Congress than a paid lobbyist like myself coming in and sort of regurgitating talking points. And so that's the thing I'm reminded of every time we do this event. And it's just each year it's a success. And I think this year we had a lot of success. And it's just a real enjoyable experience to be part of.
Well, Brian, from what I've heard, I know that the people that your team met with were ecstatic that they came in and would like to see more of you. So what's next for ACE in terms of some of your efforts, both at the federal level and at the local level?
Well, we like to set the tone early, so we're usually the first ethanol organization to have a major presence here in Washington, a major grassroots presence here in Washington to get real people in front of members of Congress. We did a virtual fly-in, as you know, during these last few days so folks back home could contact their members of Congress. And I think what we do now, we know the other groups will sort of follow our lead, which is great. And so you're going to see more of this by other groups. So that repetition in terms of message is going to help because out here, these folks get inundated in these congressional offices with a lot of visits. So repetition of message is critical. But we're going to work, Joanna, and we're not developed this quite fully yet, but we're going to work on how do we message in general and how do we maybe better deliver the facts that we have that are on our side, but how do we deliver those in a more interesting way and how do we maybe tug at people's heartstrings in a more effective way when it comes to ethanol and do that, you know, through our messaging at the grassroots level back home in people's communities. And we're excited to sort of embark on that endeavor, and we think that, you know, we don't have a huge budget compared to the oil industry, but we think that we're on to something that's going to help the industry in general sort of better tell and show our story.
Well, great. Well, Brian, you know, I always ask you this, and you always do a great job, but keep in touch with us as you're really talking and getting out there and you have these personal stories, because I know not only the industry, but I think other consumers would like to hear them as well.
Well, we will. And I just have to say a huge thank you to you, Joanna, and the team at DomesticFuel.com. You guys do an extraordinary job of covering events like this and just helping get that message out there. And so we appreciate working with you.
Thanks.
Thank you.